Jen Zamperali on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.
We need to talk about this because the emotion from the sidelines of sport is something. It's kind of hard to explain. Just the dedication and the work that goes into amateur sports in Ireland is huge. And in this week's episode of the documentary series Secrets, it'll all be from the sidelines. Have a listen to this.
What are the thoughts coursing through the minds of those on the sidelines?
Yes, that's the game.
Stan! Stan, he wants to run at you! Stan!
Everyone on the sideline and everyone on the stand always think they can do better than you.
Give me a winner!
Every day, amateur sports coaches give their time to organise and train teams and individuals.
Monday, Wednesday, Friday, they're opening the door, they're turning on the lights. There's a consistency there that my coach is going to be there on a Monday now. I'm looking forward to seeing him.
Absolutely. The belief, the dedication, and sometimes the heartbreak. Well, a couple who understand it all and feature in tonight's doc. In front of me right now, I just want to welcome Amanda Spencer and James Gray from Jobstown Boxing Club. How's it going?
How you doing?
You're very welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Flat out doing interviews. My, are you like, oh, just let me get back to me boxing club.
Can't handle this fame.
It's a great thing to put out there because I think we all forget the work you do and not just the work but what else it means to these kids. How did you feel, Amanda, when you were approached to do the documentary?
When I first got the phone call, I was like, oh, I don't know if I have the time for this, you know, because the camera's coming in, we're in season, we've boxers getting ready, we didn't want the camera, it's putting them off their training because it'd be a massive loss to us if it didn't go right with the cameras being there, and then we'd blame the cameras and not the actual boxer or the coaching, you know.
Okay, so you're serious.
It was pressure.
A lot of pressure. How old, can you give me an age range of these kids?
Well, we start with an academy that starts from the age of 5 right up to adults.
5?
Yes.
Yeah. 5?
It's like a babysitting class. That's Amanda's class.
Yeah.
No, that, we would have no involvement in that class.
Yeah, that's I'd say
Amanda.
That's the toughest thing you do from Monday to Friday.
In life.
The longest hour you'll ever experience.
So. I'm just thinking of my own son because I have a 5-year-old who does karate. And now he has his dad watching, so he knows to be good. But just to keep him in check, how do you do
it? They've got the attention span of a fish. Like it just goes 10 minutes, they're gone. They're gone. If I don't make a phone, if I'm not giving out to them, they're attention is gone. So they just love killing each other. So you just have to let them kill each other to keep them active.
And then the parents are hugging you at the end of it because they're like, oh, they're so tired now.
Because they had a great hour while I've had torture.
Oh, I'd say so. I'd say I love sending my young fella to karate.
Now, I love the class. I love the class as much as they are the hardest class I've ever done in my life. I love it.
Well, they obviously love you. They keep coming back. Come here. How did you get involved in boxing? I'll start with you, Amanda, first.
I joined a boxing club when I was young. There wasn't much in female boxing.
No.
So I didn't really stay. I didn't really stick at it. And then I went off, done teenage stuff, had children, and then decided one day I want to try my hand at it. But it was very late in life starting back. I think I was like 22, 23. And it was just really hard then to get back in it because by then there was a female boxing was really after lifting off. So
was this before the whole Katie Taylor exploded onto the scene or was this after? Did that help?
Oh no, it was after Katie Taylor.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh yeah, definitely helped. Like we all think we're Katie Taylor, you know, and we all think we're going to get there and we're never going to get there. Never. Katie's unique.
What has she got?
Everything.
Yeah.
Everything. She has everything. She's what has she got? Braveness. Mm. That's what she has. Tough life for her.
She's just so dedicated as well, isn't she? She's just...
Yeah. She is female boxing.
And I suppose that this is what you try and instill into these kids is, you know, you need to be dedicated to get to a certain level.
Well, we
right?
always That's bring it back to, well, look at Katie Taylor, look what she done. When you have the females coming in thinking they can't do it, you always bring her back.
Yeah.
And but even for the boys as well, just for someone from Bray to go from amateur boxing like that, she brought amateur boxing to the Olympics and then gone on to take over the world as well.
So. And there's so many girls now that's up at that level. There's a lot of girls.
Yeah.
Isn't that incredible?
And it is invisibility with sports and anything, I suppose. Visibility is key.
That's it.
And that's why this documentary is so important. So I'm delighted that you said yes to doing it. And you're sitting in front of me, even though you're rolling your eyes, going, get me back to me club.
James, it was touchy.
I can imagine. James, I can hear your dedication because that's part of you in that clip I just played.
That's me shouting, yeah.
That's you shouting your head off. You two met at the club, is that right?
We did, yeah. No, we used to spar each other. We are a part of a different boxing club.
Just for the record, he used to break me up.
And then you fell in love.
Yeah, he was
mad about me.
So remember when we opened up, well, Amanda opened up Jobstown Boxing Club and I was still fighting for the club. And then we were just kind of putting the club together and everything else. And then, sure, by the time I made a home, we had 100 missed calls off her. So that's how that started, wasn't it, Amanda?
Chasing you.
I was like, he's all right.
Well, it's funny because it's like it shouldn't work, but it does work. Have a listen to this.
I'd be more laid back than she'd be. She's more kind of
a perfectionist,
rigid. You know, like she wants it the way she wants it, and that's it. But we kind of work well because the end goal is the same. It's just how we get there that's different, you know. They're different approaches to life, to be honest. With you, raising the kids is different, you know. The way we make tea is different.
Everything is different. I hate him half the time.
How is he at making a bed?
I don't think he's ever made
it. See?
Lois, you were only in England the other day I made the bed.
Oh, true, true. He does it when I'm not there. Because he's making it for himself.
Yeah.
Not for me.
Because, it doesn't work, but it does work. You're very opposite in a lot of things.
Completely.
Now, you said she's quite rigid. Does that mean she likes to live in a tidy house? Is that what that means?
She's just... How long do we have? I don't know. This could end up very well.
Yeah,
we feel like we're in getting
I'll end up getting the bus home now.
But come here, I suppose you have to have an element of perfectionism if you're going to manage and run a boxing club manage
all
those kids.
I'm very perfectionist when it comes to it. I like to do the fine tune. And James he'd do a lot of the coaching now because obviously I had the two babies. So I had to take a little bit of a step back and let him take over for a while.
Was that hard to do?
Very hard because we decided to have the baby. So it was very hard. Because it was like, how are we going to do this? We're running a boxing club with 130 members, with competition, with us being away out of the country all the time. But look, it works.
It absolutely works. Tiffany features in the documentary. Is that right, Tiffany?
Yeah, she's listening now. Hiya, Tiffany.
Shout out to Tiffany.
She's boxing and doing really well. What is it like coaching your own daughter? I mean, do you get involved in the training yourself?
I would let James do 80% of it.
Okay.
And I don't, if he decides on something, I won't go against him. I will secretly when we're having our own argument. But I
like the way you keep saying let me.
I won't in front of Tiffany. There'll be some things he decides that I wouldn't agree with, and then there's some things I decide and he wouldn't agree with. So we just make it.
You don't want to be that parent. You want to let the coach.
Because
okay.
I coached my eldest daughter without James. He was not coach at the time. I just coached her. So I know from going through the highs and lows with my eldest daughter. So I kind of took a step back when it comes to my youngest daughter.
Okay. Parents and kids boxing just don't mix well.
This is interesting because obviously my husband now, just from my own personal lived experience, my husband now is karate, big up in the karate world, and our kids do karate, and he will very rarely get involved in the training even though they're small, because that's a tricky relationship, isn't it?
Because if we're in the corner, and just say for Tiffany for example, if I'm giving out to Tiffany, she's looking at me like it's just her coach giving out to her, whereas if she's giving out to her, that's
our
mother giving out to her.
Oh, you're her mammy, okay.
Then we start arguing in the corner, which is never good.
So it's cleaner, it's easier, it works better.
Exactly.
I hear you. Okay. How important, James, do you think it is for kids to get involved in sports in their local area? Like, what has it done for the kids in Jobstown?
Oh, it's massive. It's definitely massive because, especially in an area like our area, there's so much going on just day to day anyways. Like, but even for ourselves, like, I got involved in boxing. I never thought I'd kind of be here and two radio shows in 1 week, you know. But, like, it is massive just for anybody to get involved in any sports as well. Get in, off the streets, nice and disciplined. From school, boxing clubs, wherever.
It's just a nicer life.
Yeah, it's boring.
I think what really comes across in the documentary is you just seem to, the love of what you're doing. You know what I mean? You just seem to really love what you're doing and believe in it. I mean, that is so important, isn't it?
Oh, very. Like, you have to have a love for the sport because like that, it's voluntary sport. There's no payment in it. You might get to your 70s and say, why did I do that all my life? I'm broke. I mean, why didn't I go down the employment route? But it's so rewarding. It is so rewarding.
Just give people an idea of the kind of hours you're putting in. What are we talking here on a weekly basis?
Today, endless.
Today we start at 4, isn't it?
Yep.
4, and then we'll be out for 8:30 tonight because the programme will be on tonight. But that's pretty much.
Normally it's all night. Like, we could go in at 4 and we'll be in there some nights. James would stay there until at least 11:45 at night, and I'd have to go in and say to him, James, them kids have school in the morning, or if you have a home to go to, will you please close up and let them go home?
we meet 11-year-old Charlie Connolly, who was the under-11 national champion and absolutely loves coming to your club. His dad describes the club almost as like guidance counsellors for loads of the kids who go there. Do you think about how much of an impact you have on these young people's lives?
You don't really think of it because it's just happening in front of you, you know, that type of way. But I know Charlie's with us forever. And like we said the last time, like Charlie's often just comes around to the house just the two of us. I was out on a jog yesterday and I met two of the boys and they're like, all right, James. And they're like just going around the street and they're all waving and beefing at you. Like, but it's like even us with our coach, wasn't it, Mandy? You see him down the road and like you're throwing cans of Coke away and you're hiding on him and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And now you see, like I'll be going down the road and I'll see the boys throw a can of Coke or whatever and I'll be like, I know what you're doing.
I see what you're doing.
Yeah, that's what I used to do. So yeah, there's no tricks, but yeah, you do get so attached.
You could, I mean, do you ever worry, like, you need to have such dedication to do this. I mean, it'd be very hard for you to step away.
Oh, I do you know what? I do threaten him all the time. That's it. I'm done. If I've had a bad night with the kids at night, now I have to go in and open the club. Like, because everything in their lives is boxing. Everything. Yeah. Like, morning, noon and night, boxing, boxing, boxing all day. My phone does not stop. I actually had to probably nearly get another phone just to answer personal. So it's like, you don't really have a personal life because it's so out there with the boxing.
It is your life.
Yeah.
It is your life.
Like, I have the 5 and 6 year olds trying to add me on Snapchat and Facebook and Instagram. I have to tell them, I can't accept you. I'm an adult. Like,
yeah, and
you
shouldn't be on bleeding Snapchat when you're 5 and 6.
Yeah, like, you do have all the little kids and they'd come in and they'd be giving us grief going, why didn't you add me on Facebook? And you're like, because we have a personal life, you know. It's trying to keep it separate and it's really hard.
I can imagine.
It's so hard.
It's like a family, really.
It is.
James, you say in the doc that you can change a fight from a chat a coach gives in the corner. What are your tips for getting them into the right headset? You know what I mean? Because I've witnessed quite recently at competitions, quite a competition, you know, if kids get knocked or they start crying in the ring and they're so young and it's awful to watch. What do you say?
Do you know, it does be different. It depends on the child, really. And then that's kind of like, see what I'm saying, how attached you'll get to the child. Yeah. Where, like, I think it's so important to, like, build a bond with the boxer because that way you kind of understand them as a person. So, like, some boxers, as you're going to the ring, you're more trying to rile them up, and then others, you're trying to just have a laugh with them because they perform better in different ways. But like that, it all just kind of depends on the moment.
On the kid, like, as well.
We have a boy there. We were only laughing about this. We have a boy, Adam O'Lanyan. He's like 100 and something kilo. He's 17, isn't he? And in our opinion, he'd be a top prospect in this country. But he's all the way up here. And we boxed in the competition the weekend and he won. And I'm giving him so much grief in the corner. And why he listens to me. When I get out of the ring, I said to the other coach, Robbie, that was with me. I says, why he doesn't just flick me away when I'm shouting at him like that. But for some reason,
it works.
He listens. So
you really need to get to know that person, don't you? Because it's about finding their hot buttons, isn't it?
To press them and how to roil them
with
and stuff.
Some of them, like, we do know that morning if we go to collect them to bring them to the competition, we know the minute they step into Aircard, they're not on it, or they are on it. We know by the first sentence that comes out of their mouth, they're off, they're not on it. We need to.
And then you're trying to coast them, you're even probably trying to take that mind off the fight and stuff like that. Like a lot of kids, they'll go, oh, they have a fight today, they're going to take the day off school. We were saying, no, don't do that. Because you're only going to be sitting at home thinking about the fight, go to school, take your mind off it. And then once they get in the car, you're trying to have the crack with them because it's
we
such
know
a
by
pressure
their demeanor.
Situation.
We literally know. When we're putting that head guard on, we just know by their expression, right, we need to rile them right now. And most of the times we tell them, even if they won the first round, you lost that round. Yeah. You lost that round. You need to get out and pick this up and they'll be at the winning by miles. But we have to trick them to get them to go out to make sure they don't lose the next round.
It's a funny one, isn't it, when you say boxing or karate or any of these contact sports. There'll be a lot of parents listening to this now going, oh, it's a bit violent.
It's not violent.
What they get instead of that and the confidence, like, what would you say they gain from doing something like boxing?
They gain one in themselves. It's a support thing as well. Like, some kids can come from big families. You can have some kids that come in and they've no place at home, you know, because the parents are so busy with all the kids where it's individual. So they're getting so much attention from their coaches, from their opponent, from the clubs. They're getting so much support in it. So it could help them in that sense. Like, it's a real sense of a feeling for them when they come
to the club. Self-confidence?
Yeah, and a confidence boost for them that they know if they're coming to the club, it's going to be all about them, you know, that way. And then you could have the opposite. It could be the opposite effect, but it really is like a family sport. You're not just in your box and you're back out, you know. There's a lot of emotion in it.
And I suppose when they have to get up and stand in that ring, and if they've never been in a fight before, they have that confidence to do that because,
the
you know, they can
stare.
Their support is there and they can learn. They learn to stand up for themselves as well in the best possible way.
Sometimes you could have a very timid child who is absolutely amazing in the ring and it takes them to join a boxing club or a sport because some parents will come and go, no, he's very soft or she's very soft, and they get in the ring and they're outstanding. And you're saying, wow, like they have that talent, but they won't know unless they find a fee by joining.
I've heard from plenty of sports people who've tried boxing say there is nothing compared to the level of fitness you need to have to do 3 minutes in a ring. Like there, nothing compares to it.
No matter how fit you get.
Yeah, if you do that, that's like it's a different level of fitness.
I boxed for a long time and then I stopped and we had a club show only recently and my little brother, now he's 21, is he, Ryan? And we said, for the crack, we'll have a little exhibition, put it on for the boxers in the club because they're always trying to kill me anyway. So But we got in and I only done, it was only 2 minute rounds, wasn't it?
I shortened it because he was killing you.
Yeah, I woke up the next day, I felt like a bus was after hitting me, back, me
and
neck.
It's crazy.
And like I jog nearly every day, like I train nearly every day, but there's something about being in that boxing ring that just does something to you. Like,
it is. Isn't that incredible? Listen, can I talk about Tiffany again? Because I like the sound of this young one. She was doing...
Do you want to come home to the house?
Listen, I'm not... I'm. That's the one part of parenting I'm dreading is the whole teenage thing.
She actually has our first interview for today, so...
Oh, good
for
luck.
For a job, yeah. So good
luck,
yeah,
Tiffany.
Yeah.
Good luck. Just stay calm, okay? And say you'll work whatever they need. Just say yes to everything. But she was doing the Leave Insert when it was filmed and she was also preparing for the national finals. And we don't want to tell people how it ended because you have to watch it tonight. But regardless, her dedication is so impressive.
Yeah, she's really,
so
really
impressive. I mean, those life skills she's going to get from what you've done with
her.
And
it was very hard on her. And it was a decision we were kind of trying to make because she was doing her Leave Insert because she loves skill. She's one of these kids that would get up for school herself and she loved skill.
Yeah.
So there was nothing coming in between her and her education. She really wanted to do very well in her Leave Insert. And we were kind of like, you have to train. She had to go train and she'd be straight home to school. The studying, she was trying to do the studying in between. She was doing it on the weekend and... Like, if you just have a normal competition coming up as in a little club show, you don't have to really put full training camp, but for a national championships, has to be full on dedication, has to be training camp.
And then the pressure of the camera that's on top of it.
Yeah. And we sat her down one night and we said to her, is the camera crew going to put you off your training? Yeah. Because if I feel at any moment that that's getting in between us and our training, we'll just tell them to kind of not follow you. They can follow anyone but you because I don't want it to go the way, you know, I don't want it to go wrong. No. I don't want it to interfere. Yeah. Mm. And she was like, love it. I loved camera. I love it all. She loved it. She was always dancing football. She was always in front of the crowd. So none of it really fazed her. You know, it didn't really faze her at all.
She's phenomenal. Best of luck. Best of luck in your interview, Tiffany, if you're listening. It's incredible how hard you both work. Maybe you can work a little harder and teach him to make a bed properly. You know,
Yes, James.
The day I get a decent cup of tea,
that's a deal.
I'll make the bed.
That's a deal.
Look, you're alive, aren't you?
Well, look, it is a gorgeous, gorgeous documentary. It is featuring Brian Kerr and Kenny Egan and loads more. Have a look at Secrets from the Sidelines. It's on tonight at 9:35 or 2:01.
Jen Zamparelli on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.